Welcome back, Draft Geeks. The 2015 NFL Draft may be over, but we're not done here. Kyle and I are back once again. This time we're going to look at each division in a different podcast. We're going to break them down. We're not going to break down each team in super depth, but we'll look at each division. So we'll get about six or about eight podcasts out there. Breaking down each division and going there. Let's get started, Kyle. How are you doing tonight?
A little depressed after the draft is over, but hey, it just means one step closer to football season.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, we put in all that hard work researching all those guys, and you know, I did an interview today, and the host asked me, you know, you spent all this time. And then it's gone. What do you do? And I was like, well, I got all this information. And so I guess I'll just have to archive it. So let's get started. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. They didn't have a whole lot of picks today. Or not today, but this past weekend. Six picks total. They went the second round, Ronald Darby, cornerback from Florida State. Third round, John Miller, guard from Louisville. Fifth round, Carlos Williams, running back from Florida State. Sixth round, Tony Stewart, offensive linebacker from Clemson. Sixth round, Nick O'Leary, tight end from Florida State. And then seventh round, Dez Lewis, a wide receiver from Central Arkansas. Kyle, looking at their draft, what did you think of their draft? What was your biggest takeaway?
You know, I think it's kind of underwhelming. I think there was the urge for them to go out and draft the developmental prospect at quarterback. You know, Bryce Petty was in talks mostly. I think there might have even been a little bit of Garrett Grayson talk. I think their offensive line really needed some revamping. And John Miller, I don't know if he's really that guy. I think, you know, maybe they could have gotten somebody like A.J. Cann at pick 50 instead of Ronald Darby. But, you know, one thing's going to be for sure, this Buffalo defense is going to be damn good, especially in the secondary where they're extremely deep at cornerback.
Yeah, Darby seems to fit Rex Ryan's defense pretty well. He likes those coverage man-to-man corners needed for his blitzes. Darby's going to give him that. You know what? I don't dislike Miller. He really fits the scheme that they want. You know, they want to just mash you and maul you over and he'll do that. I just, you know, third round I thought was kind of early for him. You know, I kind of agreed with you. It was okay. Nothing too special. I'm not a big fan of going A, B, C, D, F grades. I like to, you know, whether I like it, whether I don't like it. I think this one's just okay. I like their last two picks. I almost think were their best. Nick O'Leary, I wasn't a huge O'Leary fan, but you get him in the sixth round. He's going to give a solid security blanket for whoever their quarterback is. And then Dez Lewis, it was a guy that I really liked. I had him ranked in my top 99. You know, taller, you know, 6'4" guy. I thought he had a lot of upside, and I think to get him in that seventh round, he doesn't necessarily have to play right away. He could kind of learn and develop. I think he could be, in a couple of years, be a good value pick for him.
Yeah, you know, I didn't get the chance to watch any of Dez Lewis. I heard a lot about him, and you know, everything was just what you touched on. Just a lot of upside in this game. And Buffalo, you know, they're pretty deep at receiver right now, but you never know how it's going to shake out in a few years. So that could end up being the best pick of the draft for them.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Miami Dolphins. They had seven picks. First round, they went with Devontae Parker, wide receiver from Louisville. Their second round pick was Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle from Oklahoma. In the fourth round, they took Jameel Douglas, a guard from Arizona State. Fifth round, they took Bobby McCain, a cornerback from Memphis. Fifth round, they take Jay Ajayi, a running back from Boise State. Fifth round, again, Cedric Thompson, a safety from Minnesota. And then once again in the fifth round, they take Tony Lippett, a wide receiver from Michigan State. What's your takeaway from the Dolphins draft?
Well, they got a steal in Jay Ajayi in the fifth round. I know there's some concerns lingering about his knee. I don't really buy into that because from what I understand, it was something that had occurred as, I think, a freshman. during his freshman year and some of the lingering issues with that. But to get him in the fifth round is just absolute steal. I had him as my third graded running back and I think 33rd overall prospect. So great pick for them. Also, I really like Jordan Phillips in round two. You know, putting him next to Ndamukong Suh is just going to create a nasty interior on that defensive line. But, you know, the pick I really didn't understand too much and kind of frustrated me was the Dolphins took Devontae Parker. They keep investing in Ryan Tannehill and, you know, keep adding these weapons. But to me, I think that there were a lot of different ways it could have gone that would have benefited this team overall and, you know, been more beneficial to the team, I should say. And, I mean, Kelvin Johnson, Marcus Peters, both those guys would have been just huge acquisitions for the Dolphins. And to me, Devontae Parker just isn't really going to affect this team in terms of wins and losses from day one.
Yeah, I mean, I see why they make the pick. You know, I don't totally disagree with you. I just, you know, I look at their receivers. They added, you know, Kenny Stills and Greg Jennings, and they have Jarvis Landry. I just didn't see a number one. As much as I'm not, I didn't think Parker deserved all the love he was getting. I still think he's going to give them a number one caliber type receiver if he completely develops into that guy. It was yet to be seen. But, I mean, I understand where they went. I agree with you. I think Jay Ajayi was a great value pick. You know, like you said, it was an early injury in his career. You know, there were reports that his knee is bone on bone. And so that's, you know, what probably scared a lot of teams off, thinking he was going to, you know, he maybe only had minimum shelf life, but I still think him in the third or fourth round would have been a good pick for him. To get him in the fifth as a downright steal. Interesting with Phillips' pick. I don't dislike it, and don't get me wrong. I'm just that kind of pick kind of surprised me. They seem pretty set at tackle, but now you get Phillips, who'll be their, you know, they're basically their nose in their 4-3, and you got Sue as their 3 technique. It kind of gives them their defensive coordinator likes to kind of game plan week to week defensively. So, you know, I could definitely see them doing a lot of, 3-4 looks. You know, Sue can play anywhere on the field. On the defensive line, you got Phillips, who really fits as a nose tackle. So, I mean, not saying they're going to go to a full 3-4, but they're going to give you those looks, you know, maybe 1 week, and then the next week go back to a 4-3, which Phillips fits in also.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't understand. I shouldn't say I didn't understand the pick when they made it. I just was a little surprised. But, you know, when you look at his value, I had him as my top defensive tackle outside of Armstead, Preston Smith, and Leonard Williams. And I think his talent is just amazing. So, you know, he's able to develop. He could just be – him and Sue will just be, otherworldly. Nobody's really going to be able to block them. And he, like you said, he adds a lot of versatility to this defense.
Well, and if you look at it too, Phillips, based on his size and initial burst, is going to, force teams to, double-team him or come close to double-teaming him. And then you factor in Sue's talent, you almost got to double-team him, and that leaves Cameron Wake and Oliver Vernon to, a lot of one-on-one matchups on the edge, and, you know, Cameron Wake in a one-on-one situation is not a good situation for an offensive tackle. Yeah. What kind of? I gave the Dolphins a solid grade. I mean, I didn't necessarily love it. I didn't necessarily like it, but I didn't dislike it. I thought it was pretty solid. Especially getting a Jai late.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a good draft. My only issue with it was they didn't address cornerback early enough. Bobby McCain is kind of is what he is. He's a good football player and everything, but he just really lacks the overall talent and athleticism to be, difference maker, in my opinion.
Do you see him as, is he a, do you think he's a slot corner, or do you think he can play outside?
He's probably, I mean, you look at his measurables and everything, and he's an inside guy, but he's probably going to see a lot of time on the outside with the holes the Dolphins have.
Yeah, I mean, and I haven't done a whole lot of research on him, but they also signed Bryce McCain. Yes. You know if their brothers are related at all, or?
No, and you know what's funny is I was actually just about to ask you that.
So we'll have to look that up at some point and maybe edit that in. Anything else or on the Dolphins, or should we move on?
I think we can move on.
All right, that brings us to the New England Patriots. The Patriots had 11 picks in this draft. They went first round, Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle, Texas. Second round, Jordan Richards, a safety from Stanford. Third round, Janeo Grissom, defensive end from Oklahoma. Fourth round, Trey Flowers, defensive end, Arkansas. Fourth round, Trey Jackson, a guard from Florida State. Fourth round, Shaq Mason, a guard from Georgia Tech. Fifth round, Joe Cordonia, a long snapper from Navy. Sixth round, Matt Wells, an offensive linebacker from Mississippi State. Sixth round, A.J. Derby, a tight end from Arkansas. Seventh round, Darrell Roberts, a cornerback from Marshall. And then seventh round, Xavier Dixon, the defensive end outside linebacker from Alabama. What do you think of the Patriots draft?
You know, to me, this was kind of a typical Patriots draft where they have, you know, a few talented guys fall into their laps, and then there's some other picks that really just make you scratch your head. They were able to steal Malcolm Brown at the bottom of the first, and to me, that was probably the steal of the first round. I think he's an absolute stud, and I thought there was no way that he should have fallen that far. I know there was some concern that he couldn't play in a 3-4, and so a lot of the 3-4 teams weren't interested in him, but, you know, great pick by the Patriots. But then every single year, I think the Patriots just kind of fall flat on their face in the second round, and they drafted Jordan Richards, and to me, I wasn't a fan of him at all. I think he was kind of just the typical Stanford safety who's come out in recent years, just really lacking the coverage skills and ability to contribute in the passing game, and kind of just a tackler. And then following that up, they had Janeo Grissom, who, you know, where does he play? He just kind of, he's a tweener. He's nothing special. And then, you know, they get Trey Flowers in the fourth round, who, that's another steal. So, you know, it was an up and down draft for the Patriots, in my opinion, but overall, I think they did pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like for the longest time, the Patriots always cleaned up in that second round. You always heard about them. They rather have those second round picks. They always, that's where they got their guys. And like you said, the last couple of years they've really struggled. I didn't get I like Jordan Richards. I liked him a lot. Breaking him down as 2013 tape. I didn't see him as a second round guy. He's probably a strong safety, more of a coverage strong safety in my opinion. He probably would have been a guy that you would take in the fourth round, and I would have no problem with that. I really thought they cleaned up in the fourth round. A guy like Trey Flowers, I had in my top 50. I thought he was a good base defensive end guy that you could slide inside, really good run defender. Trey Jackson, I thought was my fourth rated guard. Third best true guard. Here's a guy that I think he's gonna plug and play right away at right tackle. And then Shaq Mason is a really underrated guy. I don't know, he didn't get invited to the combine, but he's another guy that's gonna, a chance to start at center eventually. I mean, I think he could step in at one of the guard positions right away also. But, yeah, I mean, it was kind of an underwhelming draft. You have to wonder. They've lost so many They've lost so many of their personnel guys over the years. You have to wonder if maybe they, Belichick doing most of it on his own is kind of slipping a little bit.
Yeah, you know, every single year there's at least one guy who leaves that player personnel department, and you know, it really could be stretching them thin. And you know, I still have a lot of confidence in Belichick, and I think part of it might be the change in the scheme and how we don't really, maybe that's why we don't see some of these picks like Richards and Grissom. But you know, again though, that they snagged Trey Flowers in the fourth round, and that was a huge steal in my opinion. I felt he was, you know, bottom second round talent. So it could be that they are just being stretched thin in that personnel department, and their talented scouts are gone. But it's not too different from a lot of the other Patriots drafts, from what I remember.
Yeah, so I mean, it's tough. I'm not saying Belichick's slipping personally. I just, you have to kind of wonder if maybe, I don't know really. I mean, some of these guys, you wonder if they're more 3-4 guys. So they're trying to go back, maybe more of a hybrid scheme. They've been pretty true to the 4-3 lately. And then like Dix, I mean, Dixon's a guy I think is, you know, your typical 7th round pick. Take a flyer on a height, weight, speed type guy. But yeah, to me, it's fourth round. It was solid mainly because their fourth round they just cleaned up on, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's definitely the strength of the draft for the Patriots this year.
All right, let's look at the Jets. Not a whole lot of picks. They only had 6 picks in this draft. They went first round Leonard Williams, defensive end from USC. Second round, Devin Smith, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Third round, they took Lorenzo Molden, an outside linebacker from Louisville. Fourth round, Bryce Petty, quarterback from Baylor. Fifth round, Jarvis Harrison, a guard from Texas A&M. And then seventh round, Deion Simeon, a defensive tackle from Northwestern State.
Yeah, the Jets, I felt, had by far the strongest class in the AFC East. Their first 3 picks were just home run picks. Leonard Williams, almost no way that guy should have fallen to the Jets. As you know, who I believe is the number one prospect in this year's draft. A lot of people were talking about how, you know, it didn't make much sense for them because they already had Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson, but you could see a lot of 4-man fronts out of them this year with all 3 of those guys, and their front is just going to be so dominant this year. And then they pick up Devin Smith in the second round, and you know, we've talked about him a little bit and what his skill set is like and how he fits, and you know, he's really just going to take the top of that defense. He doesn't do a whole lot else other than contribute to the deep ball, but he can do enough where he's going to succeed. And what the Jets are lacking on that offense right now is that deep threat. And I think he's going to really excel. And, you know, if Geno Smith is ever going to have an opportunity to succeed, it's going to be with the receiving core he has now, with Smith and then Decker and Brandon Marshall. So I'm sure you're going to see a lot of Devin Smith and Brandon Marshall on the outside and a lot of Decker in the slot. So you look at the Jets in the third round, and they were able to get Lorenzo Molden. And to me, Molden is kind of a pure pass rusher. He might even be a better pass rusher coming out than Marcus Smith, Louisville's
first round pick
from the Eagles last year was. And, you know, I think he's going to be able to come in and contribute right off the bat. And the Jets definitely have a big need at pass rusher on the outside, with Coples in his fifth year of his deal and maybe going somewhere else next season. And, you know, he hasn't played great anyhow. And then Calvin Pace, he's something like 34 years old. So Molden is just a huge get for them. And then you look at the later parts of the draft, and on day 3, the Jets were able to get Bryce Petty, who I assume is going to come in and maybe push for time, depending on you know, how Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith play out in their kind of QB battle, but he's going to be kind of their developmental prospect of the future, I'm guessing, if Geno Smith doesn't pan out. And then Jarvis Harrison and Deion Simon, kind of depth guys who might be able to develop as well. I don't know much about Simon, but, you know, big guy, 3-4 nose tackle, certainly worth a late-round flyer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Williams to me is, you know, they simply just went best player available. It should be, you know, pretty unique to watch to see what they do with their three defensive ends in that scheme. Yeah, Devin Smith, too, they neither of the receivers they have, whether it's Decker, Marshall, or Jeremy Curley, none of them really are deep threats. I mean, Decker might be a guy that you can go deep and go up and get the ball. But I think Smith is something different than what they had, so that's going to be really nice. I don't know if I agree with you on Bryce Petty pushing for playing time. I think he's completely a developmental guy. If he's playing next year, I think that means Fitzpatrick and Geno were just terrible because, you know, he's got a big learning curve. I could see
kind of what I'm predicting.
Yeah, I mean, I see him being a guy that maybe sits for a year or two. You know, they're giving Geno a shot. You know, they're going to be a run-first team. They can sit back and hopefully develop Petty, and he might become that guy in a couple years. Who knows? Jarvis Harrison, to me, is intriguing because I liked him. I think I had him as my fifth-rated guard in this class. He's got the physical tools to be a good offensive lineman. It's all about if he wants it. He seems to be inconsistent with his effort. He hasn't put it all together. I mean, he was a guy that when Jermaine Ifedi got hurt, they kicked Ogbui over to right tackle and moved Harrison out to left tackle. So, physically, he's got the skills. It's just a matter of, a motor. So, how do you grade the Jets? Where do you feel? I mean, I like them. I shouldn't say I like them. I think they did okay. I like their first three picks a lot. And then that fifth round. So, I mean, I guess I like what they did. I wasn't in love with it.
Yeah, you know, actually, I was a big fan of the Jets, and I think they had one of the better drafts in the entire league, simply just because of their first three picks. And then, you know, Harrison and Simon in the back end, good value picks, but just their first three picks are just home run selections, and I didn't really see that with many other teams, so I think they were one of the better teams in the draft this year.
All right, well, I think you just answered my next question. Kind of a thing that I want to do as we go through each division, I want you to kind of say who had the best draft of the division, and then maybe who had the worst. Safe to say you have the Jets being the best draft of the AFC East?
Absolutely.
Now, who do you have the worst? Oh, no, let's do this. I'm going to stick with Miami's just having the best draft. I know you're not a big fan of Parker, and I'm not a big fan of the hype he got. I still think he was a solid guy. You get him, you get Phillips. Douglas gives him depth on the offensive line. Ajayi was a steal. I just think they're really set with the offseason they have. They're really setting themselves up for a really good season. Who would you say had the worst draft of those four teams?
The Bills. I mean, they didn't have a first-round pick, and it wasn't so much just because of that, but there wasn't really anybody in there that really blew me away as one of their selections. And I think the only guy who was really going to contribute right off the bat could just be Darby. And even so, you know, he might just be a slot corner. So I didn't see anything out of them.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think it's probably Buffalo, too. I almost wanted to say New England, but, you know, getting Malcolm Brown, getting those fourth-round guys, taking a shot on Xavier Dixon, I think that kind of put them over. Buffalo, I think my two favorite picks for the Bills was their sixth and their seventh round with O'Leary and Lewis. They didn't take terrible players. I just don't think they got great value.
Yeah.
All right, I think that wraps it up for our AFC East breakdown. Looking at the Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets. So not an overwhelming great. Kyle thinks the Jets are one of the better drafts. But opposite of that, not really a whole lot of that was done. So we're gonna continue this series. Our next one that we're gonna look at is the NFC East. We'll go discuss them. Look for that podcast to be coming out probably the next day. Once again, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. That's their best way to get this stuff. You don't have to look for it. All you have to do is go to your podcast app, and it will pop up there. We'll tweet out the links as they come. Kyle is at Kyle Howe one. That's KyleHowe1. And then I'm at BA Johans. That's BA Johans. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.